In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In the midst of life, we are in death. From whom can we seek help? From you alone, O Lord, who by our sins are justly angered. Holy God, holy and mighty, holy and merciful Savior, deliver us not into the bitterness of eternal death. Thus the opening words of the Media Vita in Morte Sumus, the medieval hymn that begins our service of burial in the Lutheran Church, also known as the committal service. It is a beautiful confession of our hope in the face of death, because it begins in the very midst of life we are in death. From whom can we seek help? That's the question in our reading today, in our gospel lesson. It's the question that the woman with the flow of blood and that Jairus and his wife know the answer to. From whom do we seek help when death approaches? In fact, when death has come upon us. We seek help from you alone, O Lord. In the very midst of life, God's people find themselves surrounded and encompassed by death. In our gospel lesson today, we begin with Jairus. He's a Pharisee. He's a synagogue ruler, which is probably something akin to a pastor or maybe the president of the congregation or the trustee. He's a leader at his local parish. He's a Pharisee. So his kind of theological political party is not very happy with Jesus, because Jesus has been challenging their teaching and he's been performing great signs and miracles that should be confirming for the people that he is the Lord God of Israel. Or at the very least, he is one who has been sent by him. Now what has afflicted Jairus on this day is his daughter. Now, it's kind of a little bit obscure in Mark's gospel, but in Matthew it makes it very clear that when Jairus goes out to look for Jesus, his daughter has just died. So Jairus is a father who is grieving because death has come to his household. And he looks for the one who he knows can solve death. Meanwhile, there is this woman. For 12 years, she has had a flow of blood. This is some kind of probably a menstrual disorder, or perhaps an ulcer or some other kind of issue. But regardless of the particular medical diagnosis, she has suffered this affliction, this flow of blood, for 12 years. And during that 12 years that she has been having this flow of blood, her health has been gradually diminishing. She has exhausted her financial resources as she has searched doctor after doctor, treatment after treatment, ointment and pill after ointment and pill. None of them have helped. And in fact, her condition has gradually gotten worse and worse as the doctor's pockets are lined. And this woman, in addition to suffering physically, likely is also suffering spiritually and socially. Because with an affliction like what she has, it is very likely she would have been declared ritually unclean. In the Old Covenant, when there is a flow of blood, like what this woman is enduring, that woman is unclean. And for the period of time, she is to be not around other people. Now, normally that is just a certain time of our life. But for this woman, it is the entirety of her life. It has been day in and day out for 12 years where she has been ritually unclean, which very likely means that she has not been able to really do much outside of her house. Perhaps if she is married, this might have strained her marriage. She cannot go to the temple. She might not be able to go to the synagogue to hear God's word read aloud. She's been separated from her people and potentially from her God. Jairus and this woman are both suffering under the pain of death, experiencing the darkness, the forsakenness, and the grief of death. From whom do they seek help? Well, initially, for those first 12 years, the woman has sought help from every place that you and I seek help, from the doctor, the pharmacist. Perhaps she's turned to Chinese medicine and acupuncture. She's exhausted every resource she has. Every penny, every clinic within a reasonable distance, and even within an irreasonable distance, and no solutions. And finally, she turns to Jesus. It's the same with Jairus. Jairus has watched his daughter suffer and finally die. And now he turns to Jesus. Jesus is the one to whom they seek help. And why? Well, because of the things that he has done. At this point in Mark's gospel, he's exorcised demons. He's cleansed people with leprosy. He's healed the sick, preached the gospel to those in captivity. In short, Jesus has been fulfilling piece by piece all of the things that the prophets spoke about him, all the things that the prophets said would herald the kingdom of God coming. The lame walk, the deaf and the mute hear and speak. They know whom they are seeking. They're not seeking some doctor. They're not seeking another rabbi. They're seeking the Messiah. They're seeking the kingdom of God himself, the one who is Lord of death. They turn to one who alone commands death and life, the one who kills and makes alive, the one who created all things, the one who redeemed all things, and the one who sanctifies all things. The woman goes to Jesus and tries to even touch the hem of his garment, for there is healing in his wings. And she touches his clothing, just brushes against it in the crowd, and instantly she is healed. All of a sudden, she notices that this wound, this incurable illness and affliction is gone. She is clean. She is healed. She is whole. And it's beautiful what Jesus says to her after he has pointed out to everyone in the crowd that someone just touched me, someone pulled energy, power from me. Why does Jesus ask the question? It's not because Jesus doesn't know. It's because he wants everyone else to know. And by that, he wants people to continue to have their faith strengthened, to see that this man is not just a mere mortal, but this is the one who has the keys to death and Hades. The Lord of life stands in their midst. And the crowd that day hears about that. And he says these beautiful words to her after she has told Jesus and all those gathered what has happened that day. He says this, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease." In other words, your trust in the promises of the Old Testament, your trust and hope in who I am has saved you. Why? Because of who she is trusting in. She is trusting in the one who is the Lord of life. And Jesus has saved her. Jesus has cured her wounds. Likewise, Jairus comes to Jesus and he says, "My little daughter's at the point of death. Come, lay your hands on her so that she may be made well and live." Now, people come from his house, and depending on how you read this between Matthew and Mark, either they come to tell him that his daughter has died. Perhaps he left right before she died, and now they're coming to tell him she's died, there's no more chance. Or, and I kind of prefer this reading, if we read it together with Matthew's account, the people come to Jairus because they're seeking the man that just walked out of the house as they were beginning the funeral plans. That Jairus is specifically seeking from Jesus resurrection. And these friends from his household are coming to say, "You're crazy. You're crazy to believe that this man has power over the grave." Either way, these people are trying to discourage him from seeking help from the Lord of life. But what does Jesus say? "Do not fear, only believe." That is, trust that I am the man that you think I am. That the one who has cleansed lepers, the one who has cast out demons, the one who has proclaimed liberty to the captives, is the very same one who kills and makes alive. So Jesus goes to Jairus' house. He puts out all those that are getting ready for the funeral, all those that are mourning and grieving. And he enters into the room with his inner three disciples and the parents of the girl. And he speaks to her in Aramaic, saying, "Little girl, arise." Law or gospel? It's a command, isn't it? And yet, with those words of command, our Lord creates life. Our Lord brings life to this little girl, and the cells of her body obey their Lord. And those lungs that had expired begin to fill. And that brain that had stopped firing began to fire again. That heart that had stopped beating begins to pump blood through her body. And she stands because her Lord has saved her. Her Lord has raised her from death to life. These things are written, dear Christians, for your sake, that you may believe that this Jesus is the Lord of life, the one who is in control of even death and the grave itself, the one who on the last day will speak to you, "Arise," and your body, perhaps laid in a grave, perhaps in an urn, as ashes, will reconstitute, will be healed, will be restored, and will rise and stand and be with Jesus in the new creation and the new life forever. Let us pray. Holy God, holy and mighty, holy and merciful Savior, deliver us not into the bitterness of eternal death, but instead, hold thou thy cross before our closing eyes. Shine through the gloom and point us to the skies. Heaven's morning breaks and earth's vain shadows flee. In life, in death, O Lord, abide with us. In the name of Jesus, amen.